Hi guys, welcome back to Two Sisters Unscripted. I'm Megan.
And I'm Caitlin.
So this week is Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Week. As some of you may already know, we have talked about it a bit in previous episodes. Our mom was diagnosed with MS. We want to use this platform to talk about what MS is, how our mom handled living with it, at least from our perspective, and how we navigated living and caring for a loved one with MS from the family perspective.
So, I will briefly explain what MS is. So, MS stands for multiple sclerosis. It's kind of considered, I guess you can say, a lot of times people either say like autoimmune disease or they say a neurodegenerative condition. But really it is neurodegenerative of the central nervous system, but the immune system still mistakenly attacks what is called myelin sheath. And myelin sheath are these like protective covers over our nerve fibers. So when those are attacked, they then become damaged. And then that's actually disrupting signals that are going from our brain down to the rest of our body. So that can disrupt movement, that can disrupt vision, that can lead to cognitive problems as well, memory loss, or just having overall difficulty concentrating or information processing. It can also disrupt bladder and bowel and numbness, tingling, overall fatigue, and really just in general our bodily functions. So it has a wide range of symptoms. And the exact cause of MS is not quite known yet. There are some different thoughts kind of swirling in the air that it could be due to genetics, it could be environmental factors, it could be a combination of those. There could be things that actually trigger MS to initially have someone kind of question and wonder if they should get checked. Also just maybe triggers of flare-ups in MS as well. But still up for debate. Still don't know. People don't know if it's genetic. They don't know if it's hormonal imbalances, environmental toxins, for certain areas that you live, or also even viral infections. So like Epstein-Barr virus, for example. So I think, unfortunately, there are so many just diseases or disorders that are out there that we still just don't know so much about. And MS is one of them, at least for what the exact cause is. So we wanted to kind of just break down a couple statistics about MS, really just the prevalence as that as well, and the demographics and all of that. So approximately, this is global, approximately 2.9 million people have MS in the U.S., nearly 1 million people, and they have mentioned that roughly about 200 cases are diagnosed about a week in the U.S. But people are saying that it is increasing the prevalence, and this could be due to improved just diagnostic factors with the use of MRIs. There's also, of course, just people being more aware of what's going on and more, hopefully more willing to go out and have things checked and looked at. MS is a bit more common in women than in men. And there's a ratio about 2 to 3 women to one man. And the peak age of onset is roughly quite a range, y'all. So it's between 20 and 40. And they have mentioned, I say they, this is just kind of like online with stats at least, about 70% of people with MS do experience, can experience significant disability with this. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's all the time, right? Like there are some people who may intermittently use a wheelchair and they might not need it all the time. So I think with MS as well, there can also be a misconception of the seriousness or the significance of the symptoms, because there are people, as mentioned, who can walk with MS, who can partake in day-to-day activities without a use of wheelchair or cane or walker, and they could still have bad days without using adaptive devices. And I think sometimes people, there's a misconception that just because you're presenting in a certain way physically, meaning that you don't actually have anything going on internally with your body. And I just think that's a food for thought for everyone watching this and or watching this, listening to this, and also just considering if that is present in your own life, that we're kind of like quick to judge someone for maybe putting up a handicap place card in their car or something like that, even if they're leaving their car and walking, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not experiencing something as well. That's kind of a quick breakdown.
I'm just sitting here listening to you give the stats like a student in school.
Well, guys, I'm also – well, the stats I didn't have to look up, but
– Well, that's like I know what MS is because mom had it. But yeah. I didn't know the stats, so I'm just sitting here taking them all in as you're reading them.
Yeah, and I felt like I just said a lot because I was also, like, reading the stats off of me writing them down because I'm not as familiar with the stats myself. Obviously, we're familiar with MS because of our mom. I also am an occupational therapist who have worked with patients who have MS as well. So just something, something just a bit more aware of. And one last thing I did want to mention, speaking of those symptoms, just kind of going a little bit more into depth with it really quickly. So sometimes, and I also say this just to also bring awareness as well, because sometimes MS can also start with cognitive impairments first. And people might just think, oh, I'm stressed, I'm forgetting these things or this, that, the third. And if you notice that it's becoming much more prevalent, definitely check it out. And, you know, that's not what I meant to say at all, actually. But you go to the doctor and best scenario, they're just like, no, you're fine. It might just be stress, right? But you don't know until you go. And so I just want to say that too, because a lot of times people just think of the physical presentation of MS, but you absolutely can have cognitive deficits that present in memory, that present in information processing, that presents in also like delayed processing. So it takes a little bit while when I say something, it might take a little while for you to actually process like what I'm actually saying and then respond in turn. And similar with vision problems too. So you might start to experience whether it's blurred vision or double vision. And similarly, a lot of these symptoms can also just be stress, honestly, which is like scary sometimes because you're like, is it stress or is it something else? But if it's consistent, definitely go check it out. If you're having consistent numbness or tingling, go check it out. If you're having muscle weakness or like spasming in your lower extremities specifically, like go check it out. Difficulties with like just coordination, whether that's like fine motor of your hands and fingers or just balance and coordinating the movements of walking, go check it out.
What she's trying to say is if you don't feel like yourself and something's off for
go a check period it of time, out.
Go to the doctor.
Just go check everything out. So, yes. And there are a lot of, we can talk about it towards the end of just different strategies. I won't say that now because I think that's an end topic. But so that's just like a quick synopsis of multiple sclerosis. And I think everyone has their own, obviously their own perspective of if they have it, right? Of how they manage their life with that, how they cope with that, how they live their life with that. And so that's kind of what we're going to discuss a little bit here, is because unfortunately our mom is obviously not here to discuss it. So we're just going to do the best we can to talk about what we saw and also like what she talked to us about regarding it. And then also just kind of from our family perspective too, of how we navigated that as well. So with that being said, I'll kick it back to Megan because I was just chatting for a little while. But
one of the things I wanted to add to kind of like be about MS, what, and you kind of touched on it, like some people don't need a wheelchair for the full amount of time. And when someone uses a handicap spot but they can walk to the store, it doesn't mean that they're they're not disabled. I have met multiple other people who have heard mom had MS and they're like, oh, I have MS. And I'm like, but you can walk. Like, I've met so many people that don't look like they battle multiple sclerosis, and they do. But it's just everybody is different, and it affects everybody in a different way. Where our mom was wheelchair 24/7, and I met people walking around. And some of them even did the MS walk with me a couple of years, and they even told me how lucky they feel and how blessed they feel to not have lost the ability to walk, because they would meet mom and just like tell her how much of an inspiration she was. So I just wanted to add that to the about MS part.
Yeah.
That and I've actually witnessed like the difference that like, the different stages of MS.
Yeah. And I was just going to say there are stages to MS, and,
Mom was primary progressive.
Yeah. And actually when she was first diagnosed, there's four now.
Yeah.
So there's clinically isolated, relapse and remitting. Primary progressive is the last. Secondary progressive is the third. Primary progressive is the last. But when mom was diagnosed, she was diagnosed back in 93 or 94. Because she was diagnosed about a year before, so 94, because I was born tail end of 95, so she was born in 94. She was diagnosed in 94, and I remember it was early 2000s that when she went to the neurologist, because I remember I was like sitting outside in like the car, because I was like, I don't want to go inside. So like dad locked me in the car, and the neurologist said, you have the most progressive form of MS I've seen ever. And yes, that was just kind of when there was like three stages back then.
And this neurologist was, she specialized in
multiple
sclerosis. So to hear that she had said that was devastating.
Yeah. And she said for someone as young. So like our mom, that appointment in particular, our mom was probably either late 30s or very early 40s. So she was diagnosed around 31, 30, 30, 31.
She was right in the middle of the stat you you mentioned.
Yeah,
right in the middle.
Right in the middle. There are very rare cases, though, that, for example, I was reading this case about a young girl who actually got diagnosed when she was like 14.
Oh, God.
Which is really tough. So it's rare. It's more typically seen like 20 to 40 is usually the diagnosing timeline, but it can happen unfortunately before, and it also can happen after as well. So big circle, just feel weird or different or something.
Get yourself checked out.
Yeah, and I say weird as in like you're feeling off rather. Yeah, go get yourself checked. Go get yourself checked. Yeah, so I'll kick it back to Megan, but we can kind of discuss a little bit about like our personal experiences. So I guess like coming from you, how did you see like MS impact mom, or did she ever like talk to you personally about like MS and how she felt with it?
It's behind closed doors. She'd like open up and she'd get upset and she'd cry. I remember her crying to us, but she always put on that brave face. I mean, we talked about it in the last episode, like nothing was going to stop her from going to get food with her family. And I mean, Old Country Buffet, please, all over it.
R.I.P. Old Country Buffet, man.
Best cinnamon roll. I think we only went for the cinnamon rolls.
No, I went from the mashed potatoes and gravy, okay?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yep, you.
I would have like a plate, mountain plate high of mashed potatoes and gravy.
We're getting off topic, but the lady that carved the ham looked like the principal from Matilda.
Yeah, but she was very nice.
She was very sweet. Took me by surprise. I remember her just putting on a brave face outdoors. But I remember her getting upset about things she couldn't do. And I remember being upset, like, my friend's moms could do this. Why can't my mom? Like, this just isn't fair. She opened up about so much, especially as I got older. And I just remember, the one time Dad and I sat down with her, I think you might've been in Syracuse, about having to sign a DNR and how hard that was, and just things, I mean, we probably should have all this stuff in a will at this age, but like things 40-year-olds shouldn't have to think about. What are some of the certain things you remember?
I don't think there was ever like a full conversation or discussion about it. It was more so of we just knew, you know. It was just kind of like how we would like look at each other, or like it's just like we felt it, we knew it, and we didn't need to address it. Now, is that the healthiest thing? Probably not. Probably not, guys. But it is very difficult, I can imagine. And it was very difficult, I can imagine, for mom to have us grow up. And like, especially after I was born, it took a lot out of her physically. And I don't remember her walking. And
I only remember, quote unquote, remember from photos.
Yeah.
Like, I remember her being able to hold onto the walls and the sink in the bathroom and things to kind of scoot herself to certain places.
Yeah.
But other than photos, I don't remember her walking like us.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, that...
I think, sorry, it's one of those guys. This episode might get a little rough.
I think it's one emotional. of those I think it's one of those situations, like, obviously mom, you know, she, I think most parents, their intention isn't to have their kids care for them. You know, it's the other way around. Like, you're supposed to be caring for your kids. And I think that's really the biggest impact it had on her, is like, she wasn't able to like care for us the way that she wanted to. And she wasn't able to be there for us in physical ways, you know, the way she wanted to. And I think, and to some extent too, I think she felt also like in emotional ways, because there were like, growing up, there were a lot of times that like, I would be like, wow, you know, I would love to talk to mom about this and get her insight. But then I would feel like bringing my problems to her was selfish, because I'm like, you know, she's going through her own stuff, and like, this stupid drama at school, like, now that I look back, obviously stupid drama, but in the moment I'm like, oh, this is devastating.
Yeah, but in the moment you want your mom, you want to tell your mom, but you're just like, yeah, she's dealing with enough, she doesn't need my BS on top of it.
Yeah, and that's like something I regret though, because she would have loved to hear my BS, like, she would have loved to hear it and help me through it. And I there was a lot that I really never told her.
I remember opening up, I don't even remember what I was talking to her about, but it was during Christmas time, because we were decorating the tree, we were putting the tree up, and I was not yet 21, and she was like, go downstairs and get one of the wine coolers for you and one for me. And me and her sat there and had a wine cooler, and Dad was pulling the driveway. She was like, go rinse it and put it in the sink. But it was just one of those. Sink.
That's still evidence.
Yeah, but she probably was like, Megan got them for me. Sitting there with her wine cooler in the straw.
Yeah.
Loving life.
Yeah. But yeah, I think everyone has obviously very different realities, no matter what they're going through. So this is just ours, you know, and this is just kind of like what we experienced. And it's hard, you know. Like, I remember, I think I lifted mom for the first time when I was like 9 or 10, like, to help transfer her to the toilet and transfer her to the shower and to the bed. And I remember, oh Lord Jesus, I remember this one time, it was a tough day for her. I will
as
literally
Caitlin laughs.
I know, because it will always be now, like, looking back. We also laughed at it later. It was just so funny. And so our mom, she would have baclofen and tanzanidine. Baclofen helped a lot with like muscle spasms and relaxing your muscles. And I mistakenly told her that the baclofen was out and it was the tanzanidine. And so I was like, sorry, mom, like, you're only getting, you know, tanzanidine, the baclofen's gone. She was so concerned. She was like, no, not the baclofen. Oh, it's your dad's fault. And so it was that same day that we were lifting and her – it was the same day we were lifting and her, it was just tough to shimmy her legs, right?
Oh, I now, remember.
Us now, too. I am an OT, and I would have, if I could go back with also the knowledge and experience I have now, I would have done it a little bit different, right? But I did
remember
it how
the days you'd pick her up and I'd be shimmying her legs and you're like holding her up and I'm like, one leg?
So I would have a different way to do it now. But anyways, we're trying to get her moving. Her legs are just like cemented into the floor. And I'm like, dang, I'm trying. I got her halfway and she just starts buckling. And I'm like, you bitch. Like, oh my God. Obviously I never call my mom a bitch. Sorry. This is just kind of how I talk. In an endearment way, But she starts going down and I'm like, no, like, it's like such slow motion too. And as she's going down, I'm like, well, it's happening. So I'm like, we're just going to go. And she's like, no. And I'm like, we're going down slow. It's okay. Slow. So we went down slow. She's sitting on the floor, her back's against the bed. And I just, you know, call dad, and it's like close to him getting out of work anyways. And I said, hey, dad. I said, mom is on the floor. We're just hanging out. Like, she's safe. Her back's against the bed. Yeah, she's just the baclofen, you know, she didn't get it. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, there's no more baclofen. Like, it really affected her. And he's like, she has baclofen. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, we're out of the tanzanidine. So I was like, wow. Okay. Okay. I said, well, we'll be here when you get home. I didn't tell her because I was like, what am I going to say? You know, I was like, he's coming. So I just hung out on the floor with her, and we, you know, she was crying initially. And I started crying because I just felt so terrible. You know, I was like, I ain't never dropped you before. And I didn't drop her. We went down slow, nice and slow.
Graceful.
Right. I was like, but we were both crying. And then, I got her laughing, of course. And we just started laughing. Anyways, dad comes home. We help. We get her situated. And funniest thing. He's like, Michelle, because she starts like flipping out. She's like, the baclofen, you know? And he's like, Michelle, chill out for a second. And she's like, you didn't get the baclofen. The baclofen's gone. I don't have my baclofen. Look at what happened. You know, like, your child dropped me because I didn't have the baclofen. And he's like, Michelle, you got the baclofen. I didn't tell her, right? So he told her that she actually had the baclofen. And I was like, well, ain't that some shit, huh? And I'm just like, oh, I'm mortified. So now, like, we laughed at it, but it ended up turning into one of those situations that, like, it was kind of almost like a psychological, like, component to it as well. There's no doubt that legs were not moving that well, but it was just so funny.
But she was like, no baclofen, I'm going down.
Right, no, exactly. And I was like, so she transferred beautifully back from the bed to the wheelchair after that, though, let me tell you. Baclofen strong. So it was just, it's like such a funny, and it was like such a raw moment too, because like we both cried in this situation. And it's crazy, it's because she was apologizing to me. And I'm like, who's on the floor? Like, who gently lowered who to the floor? But you could see, like, in that moment, there was just so much guilt in her, you know, and she felt just so guilty given the situation, and given now, like, her daughter's like transferring her and doing all this stuff. And man, I would give. I'm gonna cry. I would give
no anything. Cry. This is the raw. I would give unscripted.
Anything is- to have that back.
Yep.
So, but that story just makes me laugh, and it's just like really interesting to like the thought process of like pharmaceutical as well. So it was really an interesting story to have.
I got a lifting story regarding mom. She was getting out of bed, and she wanted to like sit on the side of the bed.
Yeah.
So lifted her up and I pulled her legs over and sat her on the side of the bed. That wasn't where on the side of the bed she wanted to be. She wanted to be like a foot down. So I lift her up to like shimmy and then place back down. So lift her up. Her hands are around my back.
Yeah.
And I have
never her. Around the neck, y'all. Just FYI. No. Do not let someone put their hands around your neck when you
Well, good go thing to she didn't, because this is how this one ends. Hands around back. And I shimmy her over and I go, okay, mom, bend your knees. And she's like, I can't. They're stuck. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like,
oh, Jesus.
She goes, just kind of lay me back and then I'll sit back up. And I was like, mom, no, like you're holding me and you're standing here. And all of a sudden she starts throwing her body back. And the two of us, now she's flat on her back on the bed. I'm on top of her. My feet are dangling off the side. And she's like, now just try to sit me up. And I was like, but now my hands are under your shoulders.
Oh, Lord. Oh, was, my God.
All because she wanted to be moved a foot down.
Did she get the right placement?
She did. We eventually got there.
We eventually, after we log rolled together on the bed.
But like you said, I would do anything to be stuck log rolling with mom yeah. down the side of the bed.
Yeah. I would get her so annoyed some mornings too, because I would be like, it's too early to lift. I would literally, cause dad would be gone. Like he would be gone yep. to work and it would be like summertime or whatever. And I'd be like, it's too early. I'm not, you know, I'm like, I didn't even warm up. Like, what are we doing? And I would then just go, she would be so mad. I would just lay down in bed next to her and then I would fall asleep. And like, we wake up and it's like, 9, 10. She's like, you little brat. She's like, get me out this bed. And I'm like, oh, like, okay,
I'm ready for my chocolate fudge Pop-Tart. What are you doing?
Right. And I'm just like, oh, my bad. My fault. But yeah, it would. I mean, there are so many moments in itself that were still funny and fun and happy, obviously, despite everything. But I think, of course, the difficulties, we cannot fully talk about what it feels like to personally have MS or any other autoimmune or neurological disorder. But we can only talk about what we saw from like the outside looking in. And I think the biggest thing is like we kind of moved with empathy mm-hmm. growing up. But it was very difficult to witness the progression. And it was really difficult to see, you know, mom go from being able to use her hands and get shirts Talk. On and wash her upper body and feed herself to starting to really see that progression and that eventual having to require assist to be fed. And I think the y'all are gonna learn my mom is everything to me. I think the biggest thing, too, that was just so bothersome was we are not going to go too deep down this rabbit hole for a while because there are other circumstances behind it. But I just want to touch on this because this is something that I'm extremely passionate about being in therapy myself, is that eventually, unfortunately, circumstances beyond us our mom was ended up being placed into a nursing facility. And when she went into the nursing facility, they told us and her that she was, quote, too far gone for any therapeutic services. As an occupational therapist, as someone who advocates so heavily for all of my patients, it is extremely deterrent to hear something like that. And it really limits the value that they place on someone's quality of life. And unfortunately, it's an insurance game in America. So you see a lot of the times that insurance will cover until you get to a point of plateau then they're like, no, they're not making any more progress. You ditch them. Once you ditch, you can't get brought back on until you see regression, right? And then if you see regression, it's then still up to their like insurance if they're going to have it cover it or if they have the same situation that just happened. But here's the issue. When mom went in, it was my final semester of college, I went, and when I came back, she was no longer able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 4 months. And it really is a disservice for people because this is still quality of life. This is still saying, hey, you matter enough that even if we're not going to work miracles and get you walking, you know, if someone could work miracles, I'd be right in line. But that's God, apparently. So one day, but, it's not something that people like expect. People are realistic when they've lived with this for so long that they're realistic about it. But it's also, I realistically want to have a good quality of life. And talking was one of the last things she had at that moment. And
she loved to talk.
Yes. And it's a true, disservice. So I think that was probably the most difficult thing that I experienced about that because mom, she had so much fire. She was fierce and she was very tenacious. But in that moment, I saw a little bit of defeat.
Mm.
When I came back and she couldn't talk back.
So. It's okay.
I miss her voice, y'all. I miss it.
Sorry, Caitlin has an amazing video of her and dad singing. Just a little snippet from a song at the kitchen table.
Yeah, they were always singing. They were always singing. My dad would literally make up songs. He would make up songs and he would sing normal songs and my mom would either laugh or if it's a song that she knew, she would sing back with him. So you would literally hear wherever they were in the house. Like I could be in the living room. They could be in the bedroom getting ready for bed or I could be in my bedroom or the bathroom even and hear them in the living room or the kitchen. Or we would like even outside, like windows open, you would hear them on the deck. But yeah, so.
They just love to laugh together.
Yeah.
Even like in the worst situations, they'd find some kind of laughter. And they still did right up until the end.
Yeah.
He had her rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
Mom rolling her eyes and laughing.
And her mom, like, there are other, just like, also, FYI, as like an OT, there are things like called communication boards. So you can still communicate. We didn't use them because people can find their own style of how to communicate with people. And we did. We found that with our mom. And she was fully cognitively intact, aware. So we were still able to communicate with her in a way that worked for us. But there are communication boards out there that can also help with communication as well. And it could be a little bit more thorough as well. Like there's communication boards that have a variety of different phrases and pictures and items on them that can assist with communication too. So, and you can just do what works best as well. But yeah, that was the most difficult is seeing the progression. And most difficult to see in, like I myself, I'm a very empathetic person. So it was very, really difficult to see that for her, you know, because in hindsight, she pushed me to go and do my thing. And she pushed me to follow my dreams and what I wanted in life. And I'm beyond grateful for that. And it always means so much to me. So I was still doing, you know, my thing and having my life. And
I'm really grateful that she allowed me the opportunity to do that and supported me in that. So it was, a lot of it was more empathy for her versus being like, oh, I don't have my mom, you know, like, oh, my mom's not even stuff. Like, yeah, of course, that's like part of it. But it was more like I was seeing what I was seeing from her. And but even through all of y'all, she has such a will to live and see us thrive and see her grandbabies thrive and see dad happy. And she,
as long as he kept bringing her some chocolate shakes, she loved her chocolate shakes.
Yes. So,
and he did,
right? He did. Yeah. Even when they were like, no, he's like, well, what's going to happen? Yeah. Like, what's going to happen? She's going to die. Oh, okay.
I don't think that's the way you meant for that to come out.
That is exactly how I meant it, like sarcastically, you know, like
the. So one of the
chocolate shake is the least of her worries,
besides her like losing her ability to talk. I remember, I was very young. We were up to camp. We had a camp, like a lake house. My great grandmother made sure we all enjoyed for many years. I remember dad getting her down to the lake. I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
I think it was the Ring of Fire.
I do. Yep. So many stairs. Oh no, he didn't even do the stairs. He went down like, he did stairs, but he went down like, because I was there. He went down like a woodsy part.
The neighbors across the street let him use the stairs as much as they could. And then they also had the steep hill to get to the lake. But they let him use their concrete stairs to get down the first part. But the Ring of Fire, so every Labor Day, everyone around the lake would do a giant bonfire. And it just lights up the entire lake. It's beautiful. And I remember him getting her down there. And when she couldn't even get in the camp anymore, like, that is really when, see, we're all going to cry. It's just going to happen, guys.
My sister was so supportive of me crying. I'm like, laugh, laugh, laugh.
Oh, I know. This is our relationship. She laughs at me and then goes, oh, are you okay? She's the one that when you fall, she's like, hee-hee-hee. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you all right? But no, like, I remember how much that hurt because she loved the camp. And when she needed help to get from one room of the camp or outside to the deck to enjoy the sun, or she was in the sun too long, knowing mom, and it had to come back in. Like, even that, like, her enjoying the sun, she loved to get a good tan. I'm 100% her daughter. She loved to get a good tan. But just the little bit of being in the sun took so much out of her that she was done for the rest of the day, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I remember just little things like that being so hard to watch. Because, like, I love the sun. I'd give anything right now to be like, mom, let's go lay outside.
and log roll together?
Log roll, yep. Yeah, right. She'd be like, flip me over. My back's still white. But just things like that. And then fast forward to getting married. Like, mom couldn't come with me to pick a wedding dress.
Yeah.
Like, that sucked. And telling mom, like, COVID hit. And then I found out I was pregnant. And because she was in the nursing home, to having to tell her through a window that she was having a grandchild, like, it's supposed to be one of the happiest times in my life and her life.
Yeah.
And I felt like just another thing that MS took from us, for example. Yeah. So those are my, like, the most challenging parts of just seeing MS, having MS take the quality of life away slowly. Like, slowly but fast, if you think about it. Like, it happened very fast. But it was still, like, to us, it was just one thing at a time, just going.
Yeah.
And then not being able to share, like, the big moments. Like, you, for example. I wish I could have strapped her on my back and brought her to Miami to see you graduate. I would have given anything.
Yeah, I don't talk about Miami masters too often, but I do have two master's degrees, y'all. So
I just had to slip that in there, everyone.
I did, because my OT degree is from Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers. So shout out. It's a great program. But Miami was not. Oh, the program was fine. No, Miami was not my OT program. But I do want to touch on a couple things too. I know we're kind of mentioning how we saw MS impact our mother and also how it impacted us. And I know this episode was a little heavy, but I do want to say there is 100% possibility and opportunities for continued good quality of life. And I really want to touch on that because our mother, yes, she had the most progressive stage and a stage that neurologists has never seen before, right? And it actually was mentioned, like, this is, like, quite rare. And I'll be honest, I worked with a lot of patients who had MS, and almost, like, 95% of them, if they had any adaptive device, it was a walker or a cane, you know? So I really want to emphasize that, and nothing with how you phrased it, Megan. It's just like, I don't want people to see just living with different diseases or disorders as like taking something, right?
No. This whole episode was about our perception of how it affected mom.
Right.
But I also mentioned at the beginning, like, there's people I've met that don't even need a cane or a walker, and they're living it up. And the one lady freaking rides motorcycles. Like, yes, go you. You bad bitch, you.
Yeah. I want to say that just because, you know, there's so many people who could, of course, listen to this. And it's really important to say that there is an absolutely, like, such an amazing quality of life that can still be had with any of these. And I think it first starts with advocacy, and that's on, you know, whether it's you personally, your family, your friends, your doctors, your therapist, and just like firmly advocating for what you need and what you need in the moment and how we can continue to maintain everything that we have and continue to progress what we like, what we do, what we have, like with our balance and everything, not progress disease. But I just really wanted to say that too, because I know this, and that's why I mentioned like this episode was really heavy and it was talking about our own experience, but that's not everyone's experience. I definitely feel like our experience is very rare, in comparison to a lot. And I just really wanted to say that there's 100% quality of life that can be had, you know? And I think it's a lot easier to say when we're not experiencing it, because like I said, my sister and I, fortunately, we don't have, you know, MS, and I'm grateful for that. I don't know. It could be hereditary. Something could happen later down the road. Right now, I can say we don't. But we can only say that. So it's easier for us to say, like, maintain hope, maintain positive mindset, you know, advocate. And when we're not physically in your shoes of experiencing it or experiencing any other disease disorder that's outside of MS, right? This doesn't have to necessarily just be MS. So I always say to all my patients as well, like, you know your body best. And listen to it. And specifically with MS, we might have to do some adaptive strategies. Those are energy conservation techniques. MS can be very fatiguing. Can make a very fatiguing situation. If we have like cognitive impairments that are starting to happen, you can do overall, you can just play some fun games, memory games and everything like that. But you can set up calendars. You can set up your, like, you can get a routine going that's consistent as well. Visual deficits. We can do a lot with that as well. OT, OT. Just kidding. OT. I'm just kidding. Not, but we love it here.
Kaylin might just have to do her own episode one day of, I'm an OT. What do you want to know?
Oh, no, no, we can't do that. I Google. No, I know.
So, talking about different, just to follow up on what Kaylin was saying, even though mom is not here, Kaylin and I are still giving back to the MS community. We are this week, actually, I'm doing mine tomorrow. I'm going to walk. I'm guessing you're going to run a 5K, and all the proceeds are going to the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America. And they help ease the day-to-day challenges for those that that deal with MS. And they have a helpline. They have mental health counselors. They help cover the cost of MRIs and the equipment, the walkers, the wheelchairs. And one of the biggest things I saw that I loved, because I remember, not that I remember it, but mom telling us later, the struggle of, she wanted another child, but she was diagnosed with MS, and just that family planning. The MSAA helps with family planning for MS patients, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
So the fact that we were able to walk this 5K this week, for MS Awareness Week, just, it means so much, because if our donation, and our will to bring awareness to MS helps one other patient, like, I'll feel so grateful.
Yeah. And just bouncing off of that too, that's, yeah, it's Multiple Sclerosis Association of America. It, as Megan just mentioned, a plethora of things that they do, which is incredible. There are also just different Facebook groups out there, different support groups via Facebook. And additionally, it will probably take some Googling, right? But there may be some support groups within your community as well, whether that's for you personally, if you are experiencing MS, or for maybe a family member who is experiencing navigating their partner or parent or child or anyone having MS as well.
Speaking of partners, I know he's going to listen to this, so I want to shout out Dad for, I mean, he did more for Mom than any other spouse, I feel like, would do, or most other spouses, at least. He gave everything to helping her, so I want to throw that out there, because I know he's listening. I know he's going to listen to this. So, shout out, Dad. There you go. There's your shout out for this episode.
And then he'd be like, yeah, that was nice. Thanks.
I was gonna. I'll say, how was the episode? Yeah, it was all right. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for the love and support.
Right. Yeah. No, our dad was phenomenal when it came down to our mom. And
he was her biggest supporter, for sure.
This man took his vows very seriously, and I would be very lucky to get someone like Dad. So I think anyone would be really lucky to have someone like Dad in their corner, because I know, God forbid something happened to us, and he'll be in our corner too. So
that's why our standards are so high. Like, you don't seem like you're gonna reach that the little bear,
the threshold. But
all I can think of is the bear outside the roller coaster. You must be this tall to ride.
Oh yeah, the line. Yeah, I get that. But anyways, guys. So that's kind of MS in a slightly big nutshell.
Sorry, guys. This one was a long one, but it's awesome that we feel comfortable opening up to our listeners and how much they mean to us. And we're grateful for you guys, for sure.
And we're also happy that we can use this platform to raise awareness and, you know, maybe teach you guys something new that you might not have known. And maybe so you can check out some or be more aware if you or someone else starts experiencing symptoms too. So, but we are extremely grateful to have you guys here with us and listening with us. And make sure to like us on Instagram, follow us on Instagram, share this with your friends, family, and
Two Sisters Unscripted.
Yeah, do something that brings you joy this week.
Have a great week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.